Well, good morning, everyone. It is so good to see all of you here at the house of the Lord today. Would you just clap your hands to the Lord if you're glad to be here? Let Jesus know you're thankful His presence is here. Amen. Those joining us on live stream and Facebook Live, welcome. Glad you're part of the service today, and we know it's going to be a blessing to you. As we begin this morning, I do just want to remind you, don't forget Tuesday morning prayer this Tuesday right here in the sanctuary at 10 o'clock. If your schedule allows, we certainly encourage you to come and pray. God is doing great things in our church, and it is because of prayer. I believe that with all of my heart. And so we want you to come and help us pray this Tuesday at 10 o'clock. Amen. Amen. Today is a very important day. It's a very special day. And we want to take some time here at the beginning of the service to honor all of our military veterans. Of course, Veterans Day is actually tomorrow on the calendar, but we are gathered here today, and we want to take some time out of the service this morning to honor all of those who have served. And most of you know that our own Brandy Patrick works for the Department of Veterans Affairs, and she was scheduled to make a presentation this morning and could not be here after all. So I am going to borrow heavily from her notes, from her the comments that she had planned to make. In fact, most of this presentation will be hers, kind of filtered through me. So we do appreciate the hard work that Sister Brandy does at the Department of Veterans Affairs, and also her hard work in preparing for this presentation today. She begins her notes by saying, "We want to honor the men and women who have defended our country for 248 years, our veterans. Our founding fathers who fought and won the American Revolution went on to craft the Declaration of Independence, where it is written that all should have the unalienable rights of life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness." And I want to point out, we have our flag on the stage today. That is what our flag stands for, the American flag. It stands for liberty. It stands for freedom. And it stands for that freedom for everyone. These rights, this liberty, these freedom transcends race, creed, socioeconomic status, even political affiliation. And so when veterans serve, when they defend us on the battlefield, they don't ask what our race, religion, economic status, or party affiliation is. In the end, they ultimately defend all of us collectively because we are Americans. Amen. Amen. And of course, Sister Brandy has a very unique perspective again there at the Department of Veterans Affairs. And she says this, she says, most of the time, when we look at veterans, when we honor veterans, we see their valor. We, of course, seek to honor them in a very real way. But she sees a different side. She sees the pain, the struggle, the hurts, the inner turmoil that really only God can heal. She says also that she sees good things. There's a brotherhood, a sisterhood among the veterans. And their service often goes beyond the last time they wore a uniform. And they have a relentless selflessness only understood by their fellow service men and women. Sister Brandy shares a very poignant point of view, something very worth our consideration today. She said just recently, the Secretary of the Department of Veterans Affairs, who is her immediate boss, her immediate report, he called her in and he said, "You know," he said, I'm really weary and tired of hearing people say when they see a military veteran, "Thank you for your service." And I will say just in passing here, not in the notes, that as a civilian, we mean that sincerely, veterans, when we say that. We mean it with all of our heart. But the Secretary of Veterans Affairs, his point was this. He says that sometimes we say that so much to our veterans, to our military men and women that it almost just becomes cliche. And oftentimes we only think to say it during times of military holiday or situations and occasions just like this, almost obligatory. And in fact, the secretary used it in speaking here recently to a group of veterans, and he felt like the phrase, "We appreciate you for your service," fell flat. And so what he was telling Brandy and what Brandy wanted to communicate to all of us here today, it is appropriate to say thank you and to appreciate those that have served for their service. But the secretary was making the point he would like for that to go beyond just a simple word of thanks and follow that up when we're speaking to our veterans by saying, "Tell me about your service. I would like to hear your story." And so that is so important today when we're talking about honoring veterans. Yes, we appreciate you, but we also care about you, the individual. We also care about your specific experience and your story, and we often are remiss in not asking you to share that with us. So veterans, we know that all too well, you don't necessarily want anyone to make a big fuss about your service. There are those of you that would not even stand or raise your hand if it were asked if there were any veterans present. But today, we do kindly ask that you allow us to give you the honor and the respect that you deserve, because we are very grateful for your sacrifice and your service. So today, as I call the name of our veterans, we're going to ask you to stand as I call your name, and a member of our JV Serve team will present you with a token of appreciation from Grace Church. And we would also ask that each veteran's loved one stand with them as well. So we're going to begin today honoring our veterans. We're going to start with Jonathan Bryant, Hospital Corpsman, 2nd Class, United States Navy. Just remain standing if you will, Jonathan. Thank you. Would like to also honor Wayne Cooper, Sergeant, United States Army. Donnie Davis, Specialist 4, United States Army. Brother Donnie, would you stand? Malcolm Graves, Medical Corpsman, United States Army. We also want to honor Xavier Hoskins, Captain, United States Army. I think Sister Anita's back there, yep. Brother Kelton Nose, Sergeant 1st Class, United States Army. And then finally, we honor Daryl Sumner, Technical Sergeant, United States Air Force. And I don't believe Brother Daryl's here. That is Sister Dara Love's father. And we honor him today, even in his absence. Appreciate his service. So, veterans, on behalf of Grace Church, and speaking for Sister Brandy, on behalf of the Louisiana Department of Veterans Affairs, please accept our deepest appreciation for your service to our great nation. We honor you today and tomorrow on Veterans Day and on every day in between. Grace Church, can we give them one more hand? They're worthy of that. Amen. Remain standing with me. One last note. Grace Church, we do challenge you, and I challenge myself. Let's have that "tell me about your service" conversation. You might be surprised what you learn, and it would be a beautiful chance to express your appreciation on a very personal level. Again, we honor all of our veterans, and we thank God for our wonderful country. God bless the United States of America. Amen. Amen. One more time, let's give God some thanks for this great country that we live in. If you're ready to worship the Lord, the praise team is coming. I believe Allison has a couple of words to challenge us to worship. But if you're here to worship the Lord, let's let that be known by joining with the praise team and giving him praise today.
Good morning, Grace Church. In John 14, 2 through 3, it says, "In my Father's mansion there are many rooms. And if I were to go before you, then I would have told you. I have a place there for you, and I will come again. There you will see me, and you will find an expectant, and there where I am, there you may be also. I am letting you know, Grace Church, that there is a heaven. There is a God who is here, and we are invited to be able to experience, have that freedom and that liberty to be able to worship God today. So I implore you to give God your best praise, to give God your utmost glory, and be able to worship him today."
See you. speak a word and if we do, we can say it, we believe. Move the mountain to the sea.
Shut the mouth of the lion.
Prison doors open.
Shout from the silence.
Raise a shout.
God, can you help me see?
You said, I believe.
I believe.
You said,
it is done.
It is
done.
You said,
you said,
I believe.
I believe.
You said,
it is done.
It is done.
Singing right here in the praise team, and his sister's back here playing the violin. I think Steve and Sherry are doing a remarkable job in training up their children the way they should go. Well, then I got to looking around, and we got Brian standing here singing, and his son over there playing the synthesizer, and he also plays the keys. Well, I kept looking, We have Sister April over here on this side and her daughter Allison over here on this side. And then I couldn't pass up the fact that Brother and Sister Murphy's daughter is over here playing the keys, and her two sons, Noah and Joseph. Noah's sick today, not able to be here, but Eli's playing in his place, and Joseph is playing the drums. Train up a child. Train up a child. There's a lot of things they can do. There's a lot of career paths they can go, but there's nothing greater than noticing the gift in your child's life that can benefit the kingdom of God. That is everlasting, it's eternal. Let's keep that in mind. Everybody give praise to the Lord. Thank you, guys. Thank you all. Amen. Thank the Lord. Thank the Lord. Thank the Lord. You may be seated for a moment. Just be seated for a moment. I have an update. Sister Murphy and I drove to Karen Crow yesterday morning to finalize the payment on the double-wide trailer we were going to purchase to have it as a church dorm on the campground, and that didn't work out. We found something better. I was hoping to get some boos and oohs and ahs, and y'all just said okay. We were waiting in the lobby at this, the owner of this double wide at his business. They had a notebook on the table in front of us with all kind of plans, floor plans you could pick and choose for a mobile home. And Sister Murphy was scrolling through it, and we found one that the name of it was Bunkhouse. Bunkhouse. It's a true 16 by 80, meaning it's 80 feet long plus the length of the tongue on it, 16 feet wide. It's two bedrooms on one end, two bedrooms on another end. Each bedroom has its own private bathroom, and then the center of it is kind of a kitchen area, commons area. The one that we looked at first was, it's brand new, and it comes with two refrigerators, a stove, a washer and dryer, and a dishwasher. And so we asked him, do you by any chance have one of these on your lot? And he said, I actually do. And he said, I also have a used one. Wasn't used very much. And so I have two. And so we went and looked at the used one. It also has two refrigerators. It does not have a washer and dryer, but it has two refrigerators and so on. And the floor plans are almost identical in both of them. And so bottom line, to make a long story short, I have to call the campground tomorrow one more time and ask them if they can facilitate for Grace Church a boys' dorm and a girls' dorm. So that's pretty cool. So I've talked to all of our trustees and others that are so helping us with this, Sister Sheila Goins and Brayton Duncan and others. And it's going to save us a lot of work. Both of these are virtually ready to move into, set them up, and you can virtually stay in them right away. And I feel more excited about this. It's just been really amazing how this man just so happened to have both of them. He's selling both of them to us for a very good price. And we had budgeted X number of dollars for the one double-wide trailer. It needed a lot of work done on it. And we budgeted X number of dollars for it. As it turned out, we're being able to buy both of these trailers, one for the boys, one for the girls, for the exact same price that we budgeted for the one. So we're getting a two-for-one deal, and I'm excited about it. Very excited. So I'm happy to share that with you. We need to pray for Brother Stroud, Brother Cecil Perry, the campground committee, that they will say, yes, sir, that's what y'all need to do, and we're going to work it out for y'all. Amen. Amen. So they will. I'm confident they will. and we will certainly keep you posted. But Lord willing, if that doesn't work out, we still have the double wide option. So one way or the other, we plan to have at least one dorm at the campground next year. But if not, if hopefully there'll be two. And we won't hear any yang-yang from the girls or the boys. And so that'll be a good thing. So, all right, stand with me in honor to the Word of God. Thank you so very much. I want to call your attention to Genesis chapter 4. And we'll begin reading with verse 25. To everyone here today, welcome. Our guest here today, welcome. We're so glad you're here, everybody. There's not a person here today that we regret you being here. We're glad everybody is here today. Everybody say amen. We're glad you're here. Genesis 4:25. And Adam knew his wife again, and she bare a son and called his name Seth. For God said, she has appointed me another seed instead of Abel, whom Cain slew. Verse 26. And to Seth, to him also there was born a son, and he called his name Enos. Then began men to call upon the name of the Lord. It's interesting to me that it doesn't say that Adam and Eve did this. We know that Abel and Cain offered up sacrifice to the Lord. But it was not until Seth was born and not until his son was born that men began to call upon the name of the Lord. I want to preach to you today, and I want to preach to everybody. I have a strong passion for this presentation today. I want to speak to everyone here today, everybody. Young or old, saved, unsaved, church, unchurched, it doesn't matter. There's everybody here today, I believe, needs to hear this presentation. I want to preach to you for a few minutes. God is waiting for your call. God is waiting for your call. Would you say, thank God for the word?
Thank God for the word.
Thank you for standing. God bless you. You may be seated. Martin Luther said, all who call on God in true faith, earnestly from the heart, will certainly be heard and will receive what they have asked and desired. Somebody said, God never fails to bring about abundant living, and those who receive his gifts with confident gratitude. Again, I'm preaching to everyone here today. God never fails to bring about abundant living in those who receive his gifts with confident gratitude. So it doesn't matter what your situation is. Throughout the Bible, God continually says, call on me and I will answer you. Call on me, and I will answer you. God is literally entreating us to entreat him. He is calling on us to call on him. It was seemingly a normal day that has had everlasting effects on our planet, on our own human history, on the eternal world to come. This original episode is the benchmark, the plumb line, the pattern for a relationship with God. Call on me, he said, and I will answer you. How many of you have found that to be true? You call on him and he will answer you. Amen. When you don't know what to do, God says, I'll tell you what to do. When you're ready to throw your hands up and quit, when you're ready to throw your hands up and give up, don't do that. Throw your hands up, but call on him, and if you do that, he will help you. This is literally how religion, which is man's search for God, this is how it began, by man calling on God, and God since that time has never, ever
changed. Say praise the Lord. I want you to look at the patriarchs in the Old Testament. Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. The Bible said that Abraham, in Genesis 12, built an altar and called on the name of the Lord. Isaac built an altar and called on the name of the Lord. Jacob built an altar and called on the name of the Lord. Long before Moses was given the pattern for the tabernacle, the Ten Commandments, the law, or the Old Testament pattern of worship, before any of that happened, men and women were calling on the name of the Lord. Cain and his descendants had become wicked, self-sufficient, independent of God, and that ungodly seed was about to dominate history. So God raised up a godly seed in Seth. Notice the screen. Without any of the tools, without any of the methods or techniques, without any music or understanding, we currently need to be in touch with God. And when they did it, they got a revelation that God was not just their creator, but he became everything they needed. Somehow through some kind of trouble, we really don't know what, they found out that if you're in trouble and you call on the Lord, he will answer you. He will intervene in your situation. And the only way he will do this is if you call on him. When Abraham went down to Egypt unwisely, he ran back to the altar where he first called on the name of the Lord in Genesis 13. That's the way it is when we are wayward. And we always have to get back to that altar where we first started calling on the name of the Lord. I remember the old song that Andre Crouch wrote years ago. The first time I heard it, it made an indelible impact on my life, and it still does. He wrote, "Take me back. Take me back, dear Lord, to that place where I first believed." I believe there's some people gathered in this building today that if you came back to that time where you were some years ago, where you first believed God, where you were first excited about God and enthused about God, God can make an impact in your life that's immeasurable. God can forgive. God can forget. God can deliver. God can save. But you've got to call on him. Everybody clap your hand to Jesus today. It starts at this point. It is a theme that runs through the entire Bible. The word call means to cry out, to entreat, to call out to beseech, to beg, to plead, to call out with all of your heart. This is the first meaning of the word call in the Bible. But notice, as man's relationship began to develop more and more with God, the word call extended its parameters and its boundaries. Later, the word developed another meaning, meaning to praise, to worship, to extol with your voice, to exalt, to honor, to celebrate. And eventually the word developed this meaning, to tell abroad, to call out, and to communicate with another person, to tell someone else. I want you to notice the progression here and the evolving definition of the word call. Call began with man calling on God, and then it became a conduit through which you could worship. So when you call on God and you worship God, then there's the potential of God calling you back and saying, "Now that you know who I am, now that you've called out to me, now that you worship me, let me call you and ask you to serve me with all of your might and to serve you with all of your strength." This became the distinguishing mark of God's people everywhere. That's why Moses in his great sermon in the book of Deuteronomy said this: the first people in the Bible who were called God's people were not Christians. The first people that were known to associate with God were not called Christians. They were not called Jews. The first people who ever belonged to God were called those who call on the name of the Lord. What a great reputation. What a great mark of character. What a great mark of morality and spirituality. You see that person right there? They call on the Lord. They call on Him constantly. You can see the blessing of God in their life. You can see the manifest power of God in their life because they call on the Lord. The origin and root of everything we're doing today began with people calling on God. And then as God responded, they began to praise Him with all of their heart. And then they began to go to other people and say, have you heard about the God who answers when you call on Him? Well, we believe that there is a Creator. No, the Creator is a God who actually hears you when you call on Him, and He can do something about your situation no matter what that situation is. Other nations might have had other weapons of warfare, but they didn't have what Israel had, a God who heard them when they called. In 1 Chronicles 4:10, the Bible said, and Jabez called on God of Israel, saying, oh, that thou wouldest bless me indeed, and enlarge my coast, and thine hand might be with me, that thou wouldest keep me from evil, that it may not grieve me. And the Bible said, and God granted him that which he requested. The psalmist said in Psalm 55, as for me, I will call upon God, and the Lord shall save me. Evening and morning and at noon will I pray and cry aloud, and he shall hear my voice. Deuteronomy 4:7, for what nation is there so great who hath God so nigh unto them as the Lord our God is in all things that we call upon him for? I'm not here to try to strike a political card, good or bad, in anybody here this morning. But Sister Murphy showed me a clip, probably most of you have seen it, of President-elect Trump. I don't know where he was at. We couldn't determine where he was at. But he was given instruction about how to celebrate the Christmas season. And he went on to present how Jesus brought forth his son. And he was born in a manger and so on. And he grew up and he was God and all of that. That was the most amazing thing I've ever heard out of any of our former or current president's mouth, acknowledging that God sent forth his son and that his name was Jesus and he became our Redeemer. I'm here to submit to you today. It doesn't matter who you are, small or great, rich or poor. When you call upon the name of Jesus, Jesus is going to show up in one way or another. It doesn't matter who you are. Some of you are probably thinking, well, President-elect Trump is just a politician, and he don't know this and he don't know that. Let me ask you today, how much did you know when you came to God for the first time? You didn't have the Holy Ghost when you came to God for the first time. At some point, we were all a sinner. But when you call out to him, he will come to you no matter who you are and will fill you up with his presence and with his power. And to the beautiful saints of God here today, Psalm 18 verse 6 says, in my distress I called upon the Lord, and I cried unto my God, and he heard my voice out of his temple, and my cry came before him, even into his ears. The psalmist said, I will call upon the Lord, who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from mine enemies. He said, for thou, Lord, art good, and ready to forgive, and plenteous in mercy unto all them that call upon thee. In the day of my trouble, he said, I will call upon thee, for thou wilt answer me. Where are the godly today? Who are the godly today? It is those who calls upon the name of the Lord. David said in one place, and I paraphrase, you can do anything you want to me, fight against me, talk about me, persecute me. But when I call upon my God, look out, because my God hears me when I call. Praise God. Who are the ungodly? If the ungodly are those who calls on the Lord, who are the ungodly? The very definition of evildoers in the Bible are those who do not call on the name of the Lord. The psalmist said, because he hath inclined his ear unto me, therefore I will call upon him as long as I live. He said, I called on the Lord in distress. The Lord answered me and set me in a large place. In Psalm 14:4, he said, have all the workers of iniquity have no knowledge who eat up my people as they eat bread and call not upon the Lord? I want to ask somebody here today, have you discovered it yet? God draws near to you when you call on him. I said, God draws near to you when you call on him. The psalmist said, you may be in the worst trouble you can imagine. You may have messed up your life. You may have backslidden in your relationship with God. But the moment you call on him, he's right there. The psalmist said, the Lord is nigh unto all them that call upon him, to all that call on him in the earth. People who do not know the Lord do a lot of good things, but they will not humble themselves. They will not recognize God's lordship over their lives. And they will not call upon the name of the Lord, but that's not the way it is with us. Isaiah said, seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. No wonder this has become Satan's entire strategy to deceive the human race for 6,000 years. Don't call, don't cry. Be clever, be organized, have your own plan. Depend on your own talent and technology, but don't call on God. The devil is not the least bit afraid of our best human efforts, but what he really gets scared of is when we lift up our hands, our hearts, and our voices to call on the name of the Lord. The psalmist said, call on me in the day of trouble. I will deliver thee if you will glorify me. Somebody clap your hand to the Lord right now. Let's praise him one more time. It's always been the sign of God's people that they call on the Lord and he answers. But all works against us when you don't call on the Lord. There are promises in the Bible that will not work if you don't call on the Lord. This is the way the Old Testament prophets operated. Remember Elijah and the prophets of Baal? Not only does it matter that you call, it matters who you call on. What proved that God was God? The fact that God answered Elijah when he called. Here's the Bible's definition of a true revival in Psalm 80 and verse 18. So will not we go back from thee. Quicken us and we will call upon thy name. I have a feeling there's folks here today that need to honor this verse, that need to obey this verse. Maybe you slipped a little bit backwards. Don't condemn yourself. Don't beat yourself up. God has set a welcome mat in front of you, and he's opened the door. And he said, if you will quicken you, if I can quicken your spirit, if you will call upon my name, there'll be a revival in your life. There can be a revival in your family. There can be a revival in your home. You can have revival on your job. I'm not preaching a pipe dream here today. I've lived this. I've experienced that. And so have some of you. This is the way the Old Testament prophets operated. They called on God, and God answered. If we're not calling on the name of the Lord, it's not revival. No matter what else we're doing, revival happens when we are tired of the status quo and begin to call on God. The Holy Spirit is the spirit of prayer. When we have him in our hearts, when we call on the name of the Lord continuously, prayer is better caught than taught. Revival is better caught than taught. Evangelism is better caught than taught. We have to call on the Lord. He will not adapt himself to our culture, our customs, or our comfort zone. We still have to call on the name of the Lord. Jeremiah said, God spoke through him in Jeremiah 29:11, "For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord. Thoughts of peace and not evil, to give you an expected end. Then shall you come to me, and shall go and pray unto me, and I will hearken unto you. You shall seek me and find me when you shall search for me with all your heart." So from our lives today, God wants fresh praise. And he gets that when we call on him in times of trouble. If you get excited, more excited about things in your life more than you do God, you've got your priorities mixed up. If you get more excited about finding out y'all are about to have a baby, you get more excited when your baby's born, when you get more excited when LSU wins a football game, then you get about God, you've got your priorities mixed up really, really bad. You hear me? And if you manifest excitement over anything else more than you do God, then you are lukewarm, you're carnal, and you've got your priorities mixed up. I believe when we call on God, there needs to be a feeling of expectancy, a feeling of faith, a feeling of excitement, a feeling like our team has just scored 3 touchdowns at one time, that we're having about to have triplets. Just testing your faith. We're praying, God, please don't let that happen to me. And potential grandparents are praying against you. God, please let that happen. But God wants fresh praise from our life. I don't think he wants leftovers from last week. Sister Murphy will tell you, I'm not a leftovers person. I don't care for leftovers too much. I don't care how good it was the first time. I will eat it. But I like it better the first time. And I don't get quite as excited over the second time. God only knows how many first, second, thirds, fourths, fifths, or whatever we've had in our engagement with him. And we're not nearly as excited and thankful as we were. If you'll stand with me this morning as your musicians come. Have you ever noticed, If you'll be honest with yourself, have you ever noticed that when you start to backslide and forget to call on the Lord, he tends to send us a little more trouble so we can see just how much we really need him? I've known scores of people that have said, church is too hard, church is too difficult, and I can't do this anymore. And their lives don't improve, but in reality, they get a little bit worse. God seemingly allows a little more trouble to come into our life. Trouble is one of God's greatest servants. It reminds us how much we need the Lord. I've talked to at least 2 or 3 people in the past couple of weeks who thought they had life made and it was all wrapped up in a big package of pleasure and money and what have you. And then the bottom falls out of their life. And both have said, I have made a comeback. I've gone back to God. I'm going back to church. I'm paying my tithes. Why does God have to use trouble to let these things to get our attention? If we can maintain a posture, I'm going to call on God when it's good. I'm going to call on God when it's bad. I'm going to call on God when it's wonderful. I'm going to serve the Lord no matter what. I'll remind you that the church was born in a prayer meeting. Church wasn't born with Simon Peter preaching a tent revival. The church wasn't born in this huge sanctuary or tabernacle where the greatest choir that's ever sung is up here singing. That's not where the church was born. It wasn't born on the backs of anyone's talent. It wasn't born on the back of anybody's knowledge. All it was born on was somebody that had a desire to call on God, and the Holy Ghost failed. That's how it happened on Topeka, in Topeka, Kansas. It's how it happened on Azusa Street in California. And how it falls in a prayer meeting. It falls when people call on God. And I think sometimes we try to generate a move of God without a prayer meeting. It's amazing that today prayer meeting is the worst and poorly attended service in most churches, if they have a prayer meeting. We have parents who get all upset because they don't allow prayer in schools. They don't bring their kids to prayer meeting anyway. They didn't have prayer in the first century when the Romans were building roads and setting up schools, but the church still called on the name of the Lord. The Pharisees didn't establish a church service, or the Sadducees, where people could come in and be filled with the baptism of the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost fell from house to house, on street corners, in places of business, at dinner tables. It happens where people call on the name of the Lord. I expect, told Sister Murphy this, we agree. Man, we were buying a trailer, our mobile homes from yesterday. When we were leaving, he said, can you walk a step into my office? We did. He told me the story about his health is quickly declining. He said, would y'all say a prayer over me before you leave? We did. I prayed. Sister Murphy prayed. I expect to find out from this man in the next 2 or 3 weeks. He's going to go to the doctor, and you're going to see the touch of God in his life. In his body. I believe we're going to see that in Jesus' name, because God responds to people who call on him. How can anything stop God's purpose when the church calls on him? You know why we blame these external situations for our problems? Because we're trying to divert attention from our weak prayer lives. There's no worry about the world in the pages of the New Testament. The church was commissioned to change the world. How can anything stop God when his people let him loose in the church? God's not interested in our excuses. All he wants to know is, are you going to continue the long line of people calling on the name of God? Do you long to see God let loose in his church? Do you love the presence of God? If not, why would God ever let you go to heaven? That's all there is in heaven. You don't crave the presence of God. It doesn't matter what doctrine you believe. You're not a New Testament Christian. The Bible said in Acts 2, just after verse 38, they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in the breaking of bread and in prayers. The New Testament Christians did all of this by instinct. If we don't have the same inborn instincts, we may be a club, but we're not a church. God's people call on him. If we are called to build the church of God, then God wants to have in the city of Central a church. It's a Holy Ghost or bust. Our mistake is that we talk about our problems to each other when we should pray about them to God. I'm going to ask somebody today to call on the name of the Lord. Peter's message on Pentecost, he summed up the last days with one verse and then defined, call on the name of the Lord. It shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Philip told the Ethiopian eunuch, why tarriest thou? Arise and be baptized. Wash away thy sins, calling on the name of the Lord. And I believe there's some people in here today, there's some families in here today that's been looking for an opportunity just to sincerely open your heart to God and call on him. So I want to invite you as an individual or as a family or as friends, but to come to the front of this building, everybody come. And I want you to come to pray. Call on the name of the Lord. He's
Sunday, we'll come do it again. And next Sunday, you'll probably do it again. And I hope you do it many more times than that between now and next Sunday. But we're here today to call on Jesus. Does anybody need him? Does anybody need him? Why don't you come call on him? Why don't you come talk to him? You need something from the Lord? Come talk to him. Come on. I'm not embarrassed. I'm not ashamed. I need the Lord.
Stop.